right. Calvin Benson from Bonkrana joins us on the program now. Calvin, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you were down or over or up, however you describe it, at Zach Bryan at the weekend. For those who may not be aware, why is Zach Bryan so popular?
He's a big American country singer, so he writes his own music.
And you kind of ended up being part of his performance. Tell us how things unfolded.
I got tickets there for the Golden Circle, and we're me and my friend Ryan and Shane. We were in there, and I went online and ordered a Irish flag and got it personalised. And Ryan and Shane helped me hold the flag up, and they caught his eye. And then later on, then big chant started, and he pointed down to me and took the flag up then.
And it formed part of the show then too. He draped it on his piano. Is that right?
Yeah, put it over his piano then for the rest of the show. Then
And did you have any notion that that might happen? Was the intention to sort of catch his eye, I wonder, Calvin?
That was the plan. I was ordering the flag anyways, hoping to catch his eye, but I didn't think it would really happen, to be honest.
And what did it feel like? Your flag up on stage, ole, ole, ole chants around the stadium, and just being such an important part of it.
No, it was unreal. I didn't really think it was going to happen. It didn't feel really when it was happening at the time.
Right, brilliant stuff. And was his concert good?
It was unreal. It was definitely the best concert I was at now before.
Good stuff, all right. And any contact from his team since, or is that just the end of it now?
Nah, just the end of it now since. Anyway, I got the flag back. He threw it back anyway.
All right,
the end of the concert, the security put it back, so that was good enough as well.
Brilliant. Going to stick it on eBay or hold on to it?
It's all right.
Are you going to stick it on eBay or hold on to it?
I'll definitely hold on to it anyway.
Right. Okay, good man. Thanks for joining us. Fair play to you. That was Calvin Benson. Did you send that to me, Caroline? Did you send that video to me? Let me see. Where is it? If I can. Oh, Shannon did. That would be useful information, yeah. And there's two videos here. Which one should I use, Shannon? The first one. Okay, let's see. Right, so I'll try and describe it for those of you who can't see it, but maybe we can hear it. I think there was a bad word that had to be taken out. It's not moving. No, it's not moving. The video is not moving so far. We'll try and get back to that anyway. We can see a great image of the image of the flag and also Zach Bryan. I'm pretty good at music. I listen to all different types of music and stuff, but Zach Bryan's just completely gone over my head. If that makes any sense, I wouldn't have been, too familiar with any of his work, which is a shame on me. But Calvin loves him, and what a fantastic experience for all of them. Let me see. After we met Phil Lynott in Slane Castle, our superintendent told us to patrol the crowd. Sorry, my texting is dreadful. That's a fantastic experience. Thanks very much for that. Surely demand would drop if we removed the licensed driver ride-along requirement. Like, make it so someone on ELS who has their 12 lessons done and are essentially ready to test can legally drive on non-highways without a licensed driver on board, as this is the main license incentive right now. Remove this and demand will drop as the incentive to license will move to a drop in costs and the ability to use highways without someone on with you, and with the drop in demand, queues will move faster. I don't know what you'd reference as highways. It has to be said that learner drivers are overrepresented in fatality and serious collision figures. That's a fact, and I hate to be that guy to point it out. And also, if a highway to you is a motorway, you're far more likely or inclined to have a serious stroke fatal collision on a lesser road rather than the highway. Brendan, are you going to come and chat to me, sunshine? He's making himself a cup of tea. It's all right, or is that toast? Sorry, Brendan, I don't want to put you under pressure. How are you getting on?
I was trying to stick out a wee cup of tea there, but...
Well, listen, it's all right. We'll get you on. Come here. Well done on the comms yesterday. You and Brendan did a great job. Your reflections on the game, by the way, just as, if you're commentating, I should say, have you... have you picked up the game as much as you might if you're on COCOM, so to speak, or what's how, that's nothing to do with the game. It's just a you question, really.
Yeah, it's a different world, Greg. Sometimes you kind of can you prepare for it? I'm driving along the car and I start semi-commentating for saying I'm like, cop yourself off. I think it's the kind of thing you'd need to get into. But I felt in the second half, you started to get a bit of flow. The game was exciting. And I thought, am I talking too fast here? I was going 100 miles an hour because the game would sped up. But listen, it was just great. Listen, glad he fell in, help Oisin out. As you said, Brendan Kilcoyne, unreal. Brilliant analysis there, Lamaby. And of course, Joe Dex was producing. Kieran Cannon was back in studio. Great to have Kieran back. Listen, everybody loves Kieran on the show there. And he's just such a great guy to deal with. So it was great to have him back on board as well. So, and then the game, particularly second half, it was brilliant to be there. Great atmosphere. And just looking forward so much to the big quarter final. Eh?
Yeah, full house. I mean, obviously, Donegal were big favourites going into it, but we've talked in the past about, you know, how sometimes things don't go exactly how we might anticipate. It was squeaky bum time, potentially for some, in the first half, but even towards the end of the first half, it was Donegal that looked like they could always kick on. Is that how you would have assessed it? And of course, then in the second half, they did.
Yeah, I suppose going 5-1 up, Greg, it was looking like we could take them apart at any time, but in that period as well, we're dominating kickouts. We won their first three kickouts, but then when it went to 5-1, then the switch came on the kickout for me as well, in terms of they won their next four of chances that we missed between wides, goal chances. We dropped a few short. So we were inviting Louth attacks to us. And as we're seeing now in the modern game, whoever gets possession away, there's a very high opportunity. It's probably in the high 70s that they're actually going to have an opportunity on goal. And when somebody was in the form that Ryan Burns was in that first half, they started to haul themselves back. And you just get the wee feeling, we're off it a wee bit here today. So half-time was going to be huge. And maybe learning's in this, Greg. And it's always important to learn. If you look at Burns' scores, and it's the one issue with that zonal defensive shape that we do, that a player can end up with a free strike, as Burns almost had, particularly in two of the occasions. So, listen, that wasn't happening to Sam Mulroy because the brilliant Brendan McCall was right on him everywhere he went. But just sometimes Burns was as dangerous as Mulroy going into this, maybe even more so from play, and we hadn't exactly tagged them. But listen, they're the small learnings. But listen, second half, after only scoring 1-6, we had 1-16 in the second half to their 5 points. So in attack and in defence, you know,
What happens in that situation? Metaphorically, is it the hairdryer treatment or tactical changes, or maybe it's just a case, right, lads, we put the foot in the pedal now? Like, what's happening in the space of two halves that we see such different games almost within the one 70-minute confine?
Yeah, listen, Greg, it's hard to say unless you're in there. And of course, it's such a closed book now in terms of what anybody says about anything in games. And even talking to ex-players from way back, they still seem afraid to talk about stuff that went on, such as the mindset. But I think, Greg, you've probably a couple of things here. I don't think there'll be tearing strips off people. There'll be no sense to that. I think the chances were created, they weren't being converted. You're on about being clinical, so you've got to be cool to be clinical. And you can't be like berating people for that. So I think what you'd have is you'd have a very calm approach tactically, what we're doing, what we're not doing right, and fixing a few things in terms of attack and defence. What you'd have then at the end of it would be a rallying cry. There would be one of them chest bounding things. You say, lads, 35 minutes, we don't up this, we're going to the championship. You know, we have a date in Croke Park next week. We've an All-Ireland quarter-final sitting there waiting. So I think, not that you'd be tearing strips, but I think there would be a big rally cry about who we are, what we're going to do, and make sure everybody's pumping out. So as people always say, you know, it's fire in the belly, ice in the head kind of thing. You've got to get that mix right. And I suppose to start the second half, listen, Louth got the first score. We had a couple of wides, and I think Michael Murphy was just sussing out the breeze. And then when he hit that two-pointer, it just showed the measure of the man. And I think when you look at that, you know, if you're a forward there and you have a couple of goals at goals, you start to think, God, I can't miss three. And with Michael, that doesn't even come into it. He just knows, right, I know what happened there in that breeze, I'm going to put that right. And he hits that monster two-pointer. And I thought that was a huge moment along with Thompson's goal.
And that's the difference.
That's what really put Donegal in the position.
And there's a real element of, now, maybe Michael has it, but in terms of sports psychology, you can't have successes without failures. An amateur, they're all amateurs, and I might ask you a question about that, but just someone not in the know would allow, you know, too wide efforts to sort of dictate how the rest of the game might go. But no, it doesn't work like that at the top level. Kerry had a handy enough affair with Cavan. Dublin and Cork competitive, as you would imagine. And Down really rallied and put it up to Galway at times. So Kerry and Donegal, the two most comfortable prelims, you could argue. We know the four that are waiting. I always ask kind of the same question. Heading into the quarterfinals proper now, this is really, really the business end of it. I think Donegal's tails are going to be high, aren't they, if you look at the other four games over the weekend?
Yeah, certainly. Why not? I mean, you're still looking at that six teams, and to me, I can't really say any of them's better than any of the rest of them. You know, maybe our two second-half performances there, particularly against Cavan and Louth, you can see the best of what Donegal is. But listen, it was so, I think, against Mayo, and that's, to me, a fairly poor Mayo side that at times, again, we didn't convert maybe the high level that we should. So I guess in all these games, you're looking at your positives and negatives in there and just trying to get your performance up.
But if I was a top-class manager, I would say, well, we know now that Donegal come out really strong in the second half, so we'll keep them quiet for the first 15 minutes or something along those lines. You know, we often talk about what we can do or what we might do, you know, but the top-level coaches, they're looking on and wondering, well, how do you solve this? How do you solve this puzzle?
Yeah, well, listen, there's a lot of solving to be done, Rick, particularly when we have the form of Oisin Gallen yesterday coming back in the mix and Conor O'Donnell as well, which means there probably wasn't the same pressure on Michael. But what you're having there is, you know, the ability, say, of Keir Moore the last day, which we maybe didn't see it as much. Now, what I'm just highlighting in this is that different players are stepping up different games. So if you look at it, Keir Moore still does his job, for example. So does Pat or Morgan. They do what they need to do and they play well. But they play at such a level in games where it's different players. You look at Finbar Roddy's performance yesterday. He was unbelievable, superhuman. I mean, the lad now is in running for Player of the Year. You know, a young player of the year, such as his form. So Darryl Boyd comes off the bench, Hugh McFadden's off the bench, and they give unbelievable input into the game and energy. I mean, Hugh was our best player in the second half. So there's so many things there, I think, for the opposition then to try and check, because there's so many things that Donegal have on any given day. So if you try and shut down one or two of them, or one or two of them don't go to that 8.59 level, someone else will. And I think that's the big thing with Donegal.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point now, whoever wants to be All-Ireland champions, you're going to have to beat the best. That's just the bottom line. But we've drawn Monaghan. Does it matter who we draw? I mean, at the end of the day, we have to win the next three games, isn't it? So whether it's Galway, Dublin, you know, it's all about winning. Now, we've won Ulster. You know, we've progressed. We've put ourselves in a position. If we're going to win it, you have to win all three games.
And I suppose, like, if you're just looking at it, because there's so little between the teams, you know, any of the teams in there, I suppose if you're looking at it just from a perspective of, like, mathematically, going to have come through three fairly tight games. You know, we would be going into the morning game as slight favourites. But I think after that, both games, if we were to get over them, the semi-final, the final, it'll be a 50-50 game, because the teams that are left at that point, you couldn't call it between them. So it'll come down to the smallest of margins. But certainly because of the... just because of the sprinkle of talent that we have around the place, because of our zonal defending, because of Sean Patton, I think that if we can hold teams, I mean, if you look at it, only conceding 12 points yesterday, I mean, that's a crazy
score. In the modern game, yeah.
Yeah, so listen, if we can hold teams tight, when we break, like you've seen it yesterday at times, the ferocity and the pace, teams can't handle it. Mm. So it's a matter of us kind of enforcing our game plan on the other team, and that's the big thing with Donegal, and it always has been. But there's nothing you couldn't say in there, you know, with Kerry, Armagh, Galway, Dublin in particular, Tyrone, you'd still say, are going to have. So it's very hard to call these games, even at the weekend before we get to semi-finals, yeah, because anybody can beat anybody in them. Yeah. And it's maybe a pity that we drew Monaghan. I think Meath, because we played Monaghan already, I think the Meath game would have been, I suppose, more exciting in terms of something new. But listen, it's going to be an all Ulster tie, and it's going to be a bit of a grind again. But this is a difficult one. That Monaghan team's flying at the minute. And listen, they had that 2-point chance to equalise against us in the Ulster Championship quarter. So, you know, there's been nothing in it in the last game, and there won't be in this.
Factoring everything in, the old line, you know, players prefer to be playing matches than training. We're not getting any time off. There are four teams in there that have had a break. Is it cut and dry as to who that favours?
Yeah, well, listen, the rest definitely is vital at the minute. You see it all around the place. And, of course, I suppose the biggest dagger in the heart of life was seeing Michael Murphy getting taken off. That was more or less saying, boys, the show's over. Yeah. Listen,
he's off to book his hotel in Dublin.
Yeah, but when the Donegal players were being walked around, because I could see Jim was saying, right, get out and get away quick to get recovered. You know, that must have been hard for the Louth players. And of course, they ended up in Sligo before the game, which didn't help things, Greg. So it was a very interesting intro to the game for the Louth boys coming down, but a lot of soul searching for them, because listen, we beat them by 5 in the league last year. We beat them by 8 in the championship to sort of hammer them like the way we did. You know, that's a serious knockback to them. But listen, fair play to your lads. We did our job.
A lot of money being made off the back of these players. They're amateur players. The big convo last year was rule changes. This year, people are being invited to have their say on the amateur status of players. Everything is on the table, apparently, so that could involve maybe the amateur status going. These players that we talk of, these superstars of the game, are volunteers for the GAA. That's what they are. Just a brief one on this, and I'm sure you'll talk about this properly on your show down the line. As a former player, do you welcome that conversation and even the amateur status being on the table?
There was a while back there, you remember, the government were giving tax breaks to inter-county players. So listen, you'll have club players in asking questions. But I mean, inter-county is the elite, and you know, they obviously are club players as well. There's a lot asked of them. Look, Ireland's too small for some kind of professionalism. It wouldn't work, Greg, and it couldn't work. And then you would have, obviously, the uneven nature of counties that are massive like Dublin and can pull in huge money as well. There's only one way something would work like that, and it's like it was before, where maybe players are given some kind of a tax break back because of the amount of millions it's generated off what they do. You know, surely the government could give inter-county players, and everybody would have to get it, you know, hurling football right across every county. It would have to be the same. Mm. Otherwise, you know, you would have unequalness and you'd have players wanting to go to different counties and that. So there should be something in there for players in terms of some kind of remuneration back for what they're given. But as people always say, they see all the millions, or could players not be paid and go professional? It wouldn't work like that. All the money, so you've seen in COVID, Greg, the GAA's coffers emptied in the, I think, a year, 14 months into the COVID thing, because there's so much that they invest and put back in to the organisation. So there isn't this massive money there.
Exactly. And also, too, in terms of like the Premiership, it's losing that example, licensed to Sky, BT, Amazon, and then licensed all around the world, Hong Kong, whatever. There's a very small pool of resources here. Also, of course, you'll be discussing that on the show. Despite a great performance from Jody McFadden and others, the Donegal Ladies missed out in the quarterfinal, going down to Tipperary, 11 points to 1-6. Reflecting on that as well, I'm sure, in the company of Brendan Kilcoyne, your new best friend, Cathair O'Kane, a columnist with the Irish News, a top mind in the world of sport, of course, Kevin Riley, La GA correspondent. It's all go on the DL debate tonight from 7 p.m. just after the 7 p.m. news, and then available to listen at your leisure as a podcast. Brendan, and lots of people actually messaging you, by the way. Don't be self-critical. That's enough people to do that. Saying that you did a great job on the commentary yesterday, by the way, just for yourself.
Well, no problem. Listen, I was just falling in for the big guy. Oshin will be back. The proper commentator will be back next week. He'll be flanked by me and Brendan. We're there to help out. So listen, I was glad to step in for him. And sure, like anything, Greg, as Arnold Schwarzenegger says, be useful.
And he also says, I'll be back next next Monday, just after 11. Take care, Brendan. Brendan Devaney there. Nobody's mentioned how good the ref was yesterday. Referees never get the recognition they deserve. Well, I think referees are like eyebrows. You shouldn't notice them. And if you don't notice them, then, you know, they're doing a good job. Morning, Greg. Brendan done great yesterday. Well done, Donegal. Well done, Donegal, from Audrey. Supporters' groans could be heard when goals were missed and so many ball dropping short into the goalie's arms. But there was a nasty crosswind there. Even Devaney at his best would find it difficult. Morning, Greg. It's great if GEA Plus can show the game and no issue at all paying the fee if the service is worth buying. Terrible yesterday is constantly stopping and buffering, and when it did come back on, it was a different scoreline. The server's not fit for purpose, they claim. And I'm in the west of the county and just want to know if all parts of Donegal had the same issues. I had no buffering or freezing, it has to be said. €12 to watch the GEA match at the weekend. Disgraceful, says a listener. And another, read the sound system in McCool's yesterday. The winning numbers announced in the GEA game in Ballybuffet were 5,936. I think we've missed commas here. I don't think mine, maybe it was 936, but anyway. County Roscommon women claimed both prizes. If you want those numbers, we can ring that texter back and get them. Right, okay, that's that, and that is that. I think we're all up to date in terms of the GEA and the comments there. So what I'll do is take a break as we await our next guests joining us. Now, on this morning's Monday's Focus, we look at the ancient practice of yoga. Originating in India, it has transcended borders and become a global phenomenon, celebrated annually as International Yoga Day, and the day serves as a powerful reminder of yoga's profound benefits for physical, mental and spiritual well-being. It's a day when millions unite, breathing in unison, stretching towards a healthier, more harmonious existence and reaffirming India's timeless gift to humanity. Joining us in studio, Sharmila Kamat and Sai Sankar. Good morning, both of you. Thank you very much for your time.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I felt peaceful just reading out the introduction. I was like, wow, I could nod off here. I'm going to lean over and just rotate this slightly. Stay right where you are. Now, a world record was broken, actually, in the last 12 hours. 300,000 plus people all doing yoga at the same time. Remarkable stuff.
Yeah. Exactly, because the International Yoga Day was proposed by the Indian government to the United Nations, and that's how it started 11 years ago. So it's very popular, and it's very popular back in India. So whenever the International Yoga Day comes, it's celebrated in various parts, and the Prime Minister goes to different parts of the country. And this year he was in Vizag.
Yeah.
And I think there was Visakhapatnam, and there was a big gathering there.
About 300,000 people joined him.
Remarkable, wasn't it?
It's made a Guinness world record with so many meters of road where they did the yoga.
Yeah.
It's practiced all over the world, around 191 countries. And we have events here also in Ireland, in different schools and different places. We are particularly having it on the 28th. Because of the rally weekend, we thought we'll have it a week later.
You imagine you trying to do your poses. Shamila,
yes.
In terms of the yoga that we might be familiar with, and also to sort of the traditional Indian yoga, are they the same, or is there sort of like a or maybe, Sai, if you want to take that one. Are they the same? Are we loyal to the Indian tradition of yoga?
Yeah, if you go back to the Indian mythology, they say Shiva was the first yogi who imparted his knowledge to the humanity, right? And that's timeless. You don't know when it started, but the documented script of yoga is called the Yoga Sutra. It was done by Patanjali. It was like almost 2,000 years ago, right? And his yoga is called Ashtanga Yoga. Ashta means eight, right? Eight limbs of yoga, right? It's called Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi, right? These are the eight wings of yoga. That's why it's called Ashtanga Yoga. There are some branches of yoga that we see nowadays, something called Hatha Yoga, or, you know, there are other types of yoga which are customized for the masses. And even for the International Yoga Day, out of the eight limbs of yoga, you're going to practice yoga, like asana, asana, which means postures, right?
Because the reason I ask is because we have we're fed a sort of safe, just to make the food analogies, you know what I mean, what we would perceive as being Indian food or Chinese food, but it can be very far removed from the various regions of India or China and the variations. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious if it's like a whisper that has changed over time and reached our shores. Sharmila, what are the physical and mental benefits of yoga? And are they equal, or is it more beneficial in one area?
I would say yoga specifically is like, it's for the body.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation, what we call pranayama, is mainly for the mind.
Yes.
But if you have a healthy body, the mind will work better. Same with the mind. If the mind is good, your body is going to work better. It works, I think, together. You know, but you need to have a healthy body. Mm. I think everybody needs to have an active life. And I think yoga is only a part of it. The asanas could be made as strict as you want them. You know, unless you have a teacher, you cannot follow it to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it on your own, you don't know whether you're doing it 100% correct, stretching the right things like I do online every day. And it helps me. But it keeps me active. Whatever I would not have been able to do a few years ago, I'm able to do it now. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps my body flexible, makes it more active. And that's why I can, you know, move around faster maybe, and I can walk more. It's good. It's good for the body and for the mind. I do some meditation. I could do with more. But, you know, it is a practice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a way of life that you need to follow. And it's like brushing your teeth. If you do it every day, possibly, it's going to help you no matter what. Mm.
A personal trainer told me, just in passing, that if I were to start exercising now, it's not to be running marathons or ultra fit at my age. It would actually to be preparing myself for good health in later age.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, I would be, my core's poor. Right, you know, my back then plays up a little bit, and I've been told my hips are a little bit tight, mm-hmm. you know, and I should be stretching and stuff. I'm a perfect candidate for yoga, aren't I?
Yes.
Anybody is a perfect candidate for
yoga. No, I'm a perfect candidate.
You are. Yeah, no, you are one of
them. No, but yeah, I'm kind of typical, but go ahead. Sorry, you're quite right. Yeah,
yeah, and anybody can do yoga at different levels. And again, I'm not a yoga expert yeah. or anything, so that's why we are bringing in a person. His name is Suksham. He's coming from Belfast, all the way to from Belfast. He's practicing a type of yoga administered by Art of Living. It's a group which practices yoga. He's coming all the way from Belfast next Saturday to do this. And he would be an expert. He would be able to tell who can do what level of yoga. And but in general, yoga is for everybody, you know, at different
all ages,
levels.
All ages. Like,
all
you know,
ages.
Like kids can do it. Adults, like my mom, who is 87. She's doing it.
That's a remarkable.
You know?
But I presume since you started, Sharmila, you can adjust what you do. You can intensify. You can
yes.
stretch a bit
yes.
further.
Yes.
You know, so there is progression in it yeah. as well, isn't
exactly.
it?
It's and about, you get better with yeah. time. The more you do it, every day you do it, you get stronger, your muscles. Mm. And you know, when he's teaching also, like when he's telling you, he tells you not to push yourself too much.
Yes.
That it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, so you do what you think is okay for you, and maybe the next day you get better, you know, so all that works for you, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose too, it's like any exercise that you might do. If you overdo it to begin with, you give up.
Yes,
you,
exactly.
you know, so the yeah, idea exactly, yeah. is that you yeah. have to have a little bit of patience, yeah, don't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people started during COVID time, and they followed it and they kept it going. And you know, it doesn't matter what age you start; it is keeping yourself moving. I think the body, if you keep it flexible, definitely later on in your life, it definitely helps you, you know.
So do you see it's religion specific?
No, it's not.
I do remember a few years ago, people almost thinking like if you were a Christian, you were celebrating a different religion. But I think we've moved past that now, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yoga is when you practice yoga, you're not practicing any religious practices.
No.
It's just your mind, body, and spirit, right?
The way I look at it is, to be honest with you, it's like praying, stroke meditation, because for some people, the art of praying, whatever religion they are, that's their yeah. mindfulness. Mm-hmm. But for people who without a religion, there's all the tools, but they're all doing the same thing. It's just
exactly.
they're doing it for themselves and what fits in with their belief system or
absolutely. It's about how you perceive it. Right. It's end of the day, it's the same thing you're practicing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only the asanas are given a specific Sanskrit kind of name. That's all there is. But then they have an English version telling you what exactly it is, like a cat posture or a dog or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
So it is so people can understand it better.
So you know, if you're getting stressed in the day, do you go, I'm going for a yoga? Do you do it in your mornings?
I do it in the morning.
Yeah, that's
when I get up in the morning.
For the day.
Yes.
Make the
it
bed.
Sets me for the day.
Yeah,
yes.
exactly.
Another limb of yoga is pranayama. Mm-hmm. That really helps. I practice it in the office.
What is that? Tell us a little bit more.
Pranayama is breathing exercise.
Yes,
right?
It's
called pranayama.
Yeah.
It's one of the eight limbs of Ashtanga yoga. And, you know, when you're nervous or your heartbeat is racing, you know, you want to calm yourself down, that's the best way. I have practiced
myself.
Yeah,
because if you're panicking, if you're scared or if you're anxious or whatever, your breathing's all up here. It's the top of your chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anything, I suppose, that helps to... Yeah.
The breathing techniques definitely help. Like you have this box breathing where you breathe in, hold your breath, hold it for a while, breathe out, hold your breath. Box breathing. There are different types. And you learn the different
but
types.
Fundamentally, you're training definitely. Yourself. You're, it's discipline.
Yeah.
It's,
even if you're not being able to sleep, if you do those kind of breathing methods, it might help you go to sleep or maybe sleep better.
Yeah, because we're very quick sometimes to sort of seek medical intervention on things. And it's always, there's a fantastic place for that. And we're blessed with the advances that we've made. Mm-hmm. But there are ways, simple ways that you can...
Yeah.
Try
yeah.
first
you can
in
try
the first
these
instance,
things,
or in collaboration with.
Absolutely,
It can be proactive and start doing it so you maintain your health instead of going to the doctor after you have found something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So, do you see this sort of as a taste ascension? I presume there's lots of people that would be delighted to have someone very expert coming to Letterkenny, right?
Yeah.
So you'll have already people attending. But the Indian Community Centre Letterkenny, it's an open invite, isn't it, for International Yoga Day celebration with the Embassy of the India of the Dublin, the Embassy in of India in Dublin, should I say? And it's coming up this Saturday, Sharmila.
Yes, and they need to register, so we have an idea
you
how many...
You have to know the numbers.
Yeah, you have to know the numbers. It's in the Westry Hall because we couldn't have it in our own community centre because of space constraints.
Okay.
It's a small place and we want more people to come, join in. It's a multicultural thing. It's we would love more people from different communities to join in. Just get a taste of what it's about and maybe in future if we have yoga classes... then they can join in. At least they know what it's about.
10:30 a.m. to noon. That's on Saturday, the 28th of June, which is next Saturday at the Vestry Hall, Letterkenny. It's free to enter. But how might one register so that you do get an idea of numbers?
We have a link where people can go and
we'll share that. We'll share that. Yeah, it's the easiest way to do it.
We have a QR code as well, isn't it?
There's a QR code in the poster that we have published, people can scan it and register themselves.
Very good. And again, just it is also about unity, right? And cultural harmony. And I think that's why you've come up to sort of say this is not just for the Indian community here, it's for everybody.
Absolutely.
And do you find, Sai, that, you know, this is one of those... sometimes people don't know what to do, right? So do you think yoga is... and I think you mentioned online yoga, Sharmila, but do you think Sai yoga is an activity that you can learn the basics and then repeat them and then improve? And do you know what I mean? Because sometimes we don't do things because we think it's too blooming complicated.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You know, when you need a guru or you need a teacher for any art to learn, right? So the International Yoga Day, like of these type of gatherings, are going to help you learn or try it out and learn the basics. And then you can get help from any teachers, you know, any experts who can, help you.
And is your 87-year-old mother going to be there, Sharmila?
Yeah. My mom is in India, but she does it all the time. Like,
that's, you know, the online classes you do. Mom, show me what to do next.
But it's a discipline, and it's a timetable. Like, her mind is geared that she's going to do it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
It's,
and, you know,
part of her life.
It's great. Okay. I mean, you know, it keeps her flexible and moving.
Lovely stuff. Yeah. Okay, we're going to link how you can register. It's the Indian Community Centre, Letterkenny, welcoming you to International Yoga Day. It's at the Vestry Hall, Letterkenny, 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon next Saturday. Check out our socials. We'll put a link up. Sharmila Kamat, thank you very much indeed for calling up. Sai Sankar of the Indian Community Centre. Both of you have a lovely yoga fun day next
Saturday.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
And trust me, this isn't a repeat, but for the third year in a row, we have in studio with us Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan, along with our own Oisin Kelly. Callum, Noel, congratulations, guys. Well done to you.
Thank you very much.
How was it?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really, really good rally. Tough, challenging, but yeah. a great result in the end.
You've done it three times in a row, so you have the knack now of winning this rally. So what are the variables that have to go right to make sure you know what your knowledge and your skills work? Is it prep? Is it the car? Is it just a bit of luck on reliability or good manufacturing as well, of course, just in case Skoda are listening? You know, what are the difference makers that means you can do it 3 years in a row?
Pretty much all them things you just mentioned. The preparation before the rallies is key. There's a lot of work goes on behind it. I have a team behind me too that preps the car, and a team of guys that make sure everything's sorted. Dermot and Adam and my dad and everybody. And a lot of work goes on behind it. The car and me and Noel as well, we do a lot of prep, getting as much information from the stages so we're ready to hit the ground running and stuff. So yeah, a lot goes into it, and then the car too has to be performing. Yeah. And a wee bit of luck as well on the weekend.
And the margins for error are so small. I mean, you must be absolutely exhausted, both of you, having to be locked in, because there's a physical element of it, but the mental toll is huge.
Very. To be honest, I was out last night there now, and I had a call of the day because the energy levels was...
Well, I'm delighted you did, to be honest with you, because last year your eyes were glossy, today they're clear as a whistle.
He's a married man now as well, Greg, you see?
He's a married man as well.
Are you in bed yet?
Something along them lines, all right. So, but no, it was very demanding, especially with the heat there on Friday and Saturday. And the cars, I don't know what the reach, no, about 40 degrees more.
Yeah, like, inside in the car to be 40 degrees, yeah.
And it's the heat, and there's no aircon on the cars. So the faster we go, the more air comes in. Yeah. But when you're stuck in traffic, it gets very warm. So, no, look, it's very demanding, grueling. We do keep ourselves physically fit too as well.
You have to, don't you? It's like all sports now, the fitness side of it's huge. Noel, in terms of how the course was set up or how your car interacted with it over the last 3 years, in terms of sort of difficulty and challenge, where does the weekend rank?
Yeah, look, Donegal is the one that everyone wants. Look, this year, the route was maybe 90% similar to last year there out in Mallon on Friday. Out in Mallon, it's one of my favourite out there, going out to those stages. They're iconic roads, I suppose, and we grew up watching this rally, and to win it three times is pretty special.
And you join such an amazing group of people, Cahill Curley, Billy Coleman, Andrew Nesbitt, and the late Manus Kelly, who very sadly, it's 6 years since Manus' passing. I mean, what an amazing team of drivers to be joining there, Noel.
I know, yeah. It's an iconic list when you're listing them out there. But look, I suppose we don't kind of rest on our laurels or look back at records when you're in the middle of it. We're just looking ahead, and we're in a championship at the moment now. So it's kind of all systems go with the championship and just take off the rallies one rally at a time.
Yeah. Osh.
Morning, Greg.
You'd have got some odds, wouldn't you, on the same three teams finishing in the same positions at the top?
You would have done, Greg, but you have to look at the magnitude of this result, because this was probably... and Noel has referred to it a couple of times already, probably Callum's best performance in the car here in Donegal, because this year was different in a way that we had European contenders. A little bit better there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a European contenders who were here. So John Armstrong competes on the European stage. Hayden Paddon came the whole way from New Zealand and is a two-time European champion. He bowed out on Saturday. So he did, and William Creighton's leading the British Rally Championship, and he was part of, they were chasing Callum down on Saturday. So that's just an example of three very high quality drivers that were here to try to win Donegal. And at the end of it all, it's these two boys here beside us that were on the top step and the podium. So to achieve the result in the manner that they did, and the pressure that those guys were trying to put on them on Saturday, made it even more impressive. And it's not an easy thing to do, to win three Donegals in a row, because them boys came for the first time, or were tackling it, and they know how difficult it is to win it. These guys have done it three, and as Noel said, they don't look at records at the minute, but when you go on a wee bit in your career and you start to reflect back how massive a period this is for these two men, because we spoke about it last night. Like, the two biggest rallies in the country, Donegal's top of the pile, next in line is Kerry. And these two boys have dominated it for the last 3 and 4 years. They've won Kerry 4 in a row. So they have, and they've won Donegal now three in a row. Nobody's ever achieved that before, Greg, and it's only when you do go a wee bit down the line in your career that you have time to reflect that. If it was put it to these boys now, they'll be going, oh, we have a championship now to sort out this year. But in terms of rallying, where it's at, This is huge, so it is.
Just to mention too, I got more of an insight in it this year than I did previous years. The level of organisation ensuring the roads are clear and safe for the guys to the amount of volunteers, because there's so many miles and kilometres to cover. It's really quite remarkable how well organised the back end is, you know, that we don't see necessarily, but it's astonishing.
It's headed up by Eamon McGee, who's the clerk of the course, but he's a massive team underneath him. So there was, and there's like 2,000 volunteers, be they from locally or they come the whole way from Kerry every year. No one comes to compete, but there's men that come that stand in ditches and put on the yellow vests and marshal at the weekend and help out with various events. And without those people here and from further afield that come in, you wouldn't be able to run the event of the size of what the Walton Recycling Donegal International Rally is. And it was a fantastic weekend. Everything ran so smoothly. I was actually speaking to the guy that won the modified, Aaron McIntyre's his name, he's from County Cavan, and he made the point that they run a bit further down the field, but they were able to race in every single stage this year. So every single stage was run. Yeah. They were able to
complete it,
which speaks volumes for again the organisers and the way things are and how the rally was being run, because these boys get to run most of them anyway because they're at the front of the field. But it was a hugely successful weekend, yet again for the Donegal International Rally and for the people who are behind it.
Callum, what motivates you? I mean, obviously, you know, if you won one, four in a row, you've won another three in a row. Obviously, this overall championship, but you know, because you have to be at the top end of a sport, it's like fractions of percentages, right? That's the difference between who wins and who doesn't win. What drives you? Is it a competitive nature? Is it records? Is it bettering people that you followed? I mean, how can you stay so switched on, having won the same event multiple times now?
I think it's just probably a more competitive nature I have. I always wanted to better myself. I always want to push on and try and get performance out of myself. I think when I seen these guys coming, the European guys coming to this event,
it's my backyard.
Yeah, it kind of pushes me on a bit. I think it kind of showed that in the times compared to last year, we were a lot quicker on the stages this year than we were last year. Their pace just jumped up again. So, look, you want to race the quickest boys to push you on and see what you're capable of all the time.
And what's the story? Like, you're in the Skoda Fabia RS Rally 2 at the moment. What's the lifespan of that car? Not the actual car itself, but you racing in that vehicle. Is that a tie-in with Skoda, or is it just the car that you like? Just for those who aren't sort of big up in rallying, what's the relationship with you and that car, and how long will you stay in that one vehicle?
It's pretty good at the moment. We got the car for the week of Donegal last year. Went well, and we've been in the car now a year and it's been good. Most of the cars at the front of the field are kind of nearly all the same power, same braking, so sort of all that, but just different manufacturers and different chassis shapes. So we drive a Skoda, the guys in second were in a Toyota, the guys in third were in a Volkswagen Polo that I used to have, and John Armstrong was a Fiesta and Hayden Padham was a Hyundai. Now, loads of manufacturers shown at the front end, different car brands, which is fantastic. Not often that happens. And I like the Skoda. Just wee things that I like about it. And it's working well so far.
It just has to feel like an extension of you, presumably. Yeah. You know, in terms of your contact with the grounds and all that kind of stuff. And Noel, in terms of your motivation, because, I mean, obviously, you know, Callum's behind the wheel, but your role is he couldn't do it without you. How do you sort of motivate yourself, focus yourself for these events?
I guess I grew up watching these rallies, so I get the chance to compete at the front end. Coming to Donegal and running number one on the road is pretty special. It's an honour. So I guess every year I come up, you want to win, and it might be a bit of greed, but the more you win, the more you want.
And, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a special feeling winning these rallies. And it's a credit to Callum. A lot of guys came here this weekend. They all came hunting him down. They all came knocking on the door. But he never flinched all weekend, and he drove a superb rally, and it's a credit to him.
And Callum, just a word on Noel and the importance, I suppose, of your sort of relationship connection, if you know what I mean, because you're so reliant on what he's doing there as well.
Yeah, exactly. I would, to be honest, I could not do what Noel does in the car. It's just, that's not my end.
Could you do what he does, Noel?
I might do that.
Noel definitely say
I don't want to break up, sorry.
But no, look, Noel's fantastic what he does. He was proven long before I came about. And yeah, once he sat with me and Killarney 4 years ago for the first time, we just took off on a winning streak.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think it proves itself how good he is in the car with me and what he brings out. And
I think it's just the two of ye and the right car. Yes, they're blooming unstoppable. Isn't that it, Osh?
Listen, they're fantastic, so they are. And again, it's back to the point we made earlier that the way they managed the rally this weekend and the pace that they were on, and the guys, the way they hunted them down, something had to give, and it wasn't Callum that gave. He just focused on what he was doing and was getting to the end of Saturday and just see what the rest do after that. And the pace was that hot that something had to give. And in the space of, 30 kilometres, two of the big names had gone. It was fantastic having somebody like Hayden Padden here to advertise the rally and all its glory and having Hayden here. Like, he wants to come back. He's unfinished business now. So he has with Donegal, and it would be great to have him back again. But it made for such a fascinating race. I think 4 years ago, Noel stepped on McCallum and they've been unstoppable since. And listen, nobody's ever won four in a row in Donegal. So they haven't, Greg. It's never been achieved before.
Well, so let's not do the commentator's curse on it. Like, we're just, the tires are still warm on this year's car.
It's something that'll be talked about leading into next year. So.
Well, that's it.
But they have to savour this because even last night at the prize giving, the first thing I asked Callum was, has it sunk in yet? And it takes a few days. He'll probably have to wait till he gets back into the digger someday that it's going to hit him what he actually has achieved here.
No.
So he has.
But history beckons next year, Callum.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, I think we're quite level headed on it. We'll just take one rally at a time, and yeah, like we did this weekend, we took one stage at a time, and just as Oisin says, we just get Saturday over us, and then we get to Sunday. So we'll just have to take it like that. But yeah, it would have been fantastic if we could, but we'll definitely be here to try it.
Fantastic. Callum Devine, Noel Sullivan, both of you. Noel O'Sullivan, I beg your pardon. Both of you, congratulations.
He's a long trip home now. He's going to Kerry.
Well, are you going today?
Yeah, straight away.
Oh, well. Listen, thanks. So at least you packed it in early last night. So it's going to be a little bit...
We learned from last year.
Yeah, exactly. You're learning every year, aren't you?
We'll book in, I won't say it.
Okay, come here, brilliant stuff. And well done to you and Chris and all of the crew over the weekend, balancing the rally and the GEA and everything that you did. And well done to the organisers. We're reflecting on a really positive event. Yeah. And, you know, it's not that long ago we were talking about the future of the rally, and now it just seems to be back up where it belongs as a massive positive high, which is great.
Thanks, Greg, we would like to thank the organising crew and indeed all the crews and all the competitors, because they make our job easy when we're out there trying to do our
broadcast. And a camera and a microphone now as well.
Yeah, and they'll all enjoy in the next couple of days, because I'm sure Rally Monday's in full swing already, as they call it.
So, okay, well, I know nothing about that, because I'm a good Catholic boy.
Yeah.
Oisin Kelly, thanks very much indeed. Callum Devine, well done. Noel O'Sullivan, safe journey back to Kerry. Thanks for coming in each morning. It's really important to us, and it's three in a row now. Let's do four. All right, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a great day.